The Ensemble podcast is intended for professional financial advisors. This content is created in partnership with our sponsor, NetWealth Investments Limited, ABN 85090 569 109, AFSL 230 975, and is limited to publicly available information. Before acting on any general advice, you should consider whether appropriate and obtain financial advice from a qualified financial advisor. Ensemble does not hold an AFS license and does not provide any financial advice or services or endorse any general advice. If a PDS or IM exists, you should obtain a copy and review it thoroughly before making a decision.
I'm Patrick, Head of Technology at professional services firm Collins SBA. I'm a former financial advisor who just loves solving business problems and creating better client experiences using technology. Join me each week as we unpack the tech on offer to advice professionals, stay on top of tech trends, and help you break free from the analysis paralysis experience when building and maintaining a great tech stack.
Discover a world of advice. Join Matt Heiner, CEO of NetWealth, as he chats to industry professionals and thought leaders on the latest technologies, business models, changing demographic patterns, and general trends impacting wealth management. Listen at netwealth.com.au/between meetings. This ad is presented by NetWealth Investments Limited and does not consider individual circumstances. Seek professional advice and read the relevant PDS to determine if NetWealth is appropriate for you. Past performance is not a reliable indicator of future performance.
Today on the podcast, we're talking all things automation with Luke Modelmeyer. So Luke's an account executive at Wocado, which is sort of like the more responsible, more capable big brother or sister of tools like Zapier. You know, Zapier makes you happier. This chat does get pretty detailed at times with acronyms like APIs and SDKs thrown around. To be honest, I don't really know what an SDK is, but a quick Google search tells me it's a software development kit. It's like code, documentation, guides, framework, etc. And most of you should know what APIs are or have heard of them before. So they allow you to connect or communicate with other systems. And Wocado just makes it really easy. I always get excited talking to Luke because he just reiterates what's possible and what can be automated. And of course, we also talk about AI and its use case. I first started by asking Luke what the oldest piece of tech he still owns is and whether he still uses it.
Don't actually carry around a whole lot of tech with me. Kind of when I'm done with it, I kind of get rid of it. I was actually looking around the other day in terms of tech that I have that I still use. And like, honestly, the oldest thing I have is a pen I got given out of high school. I mean, I'm taking that as tech because they developed it for the space program.
Right.
That's as close as I get. Everything else, I get a new phone every few years. I upgrade my computers all the time. And if I don't use them, I can't get rid of it. So I kind of try to buy good stuff and then use it until I need something better.
Bit of planned obsolescence. So you're staying in the same decade tech-wise.
Yeah, 100%.
Nice. So I guess sticking to this decade and probably more specifically the last sort of 12 to 18 months, have you got like a one or two cool ways that you're using AI personally?
Yeah, so I use ChatGPT an awful lot at the moment and partly for work but partly outside of it. I've started GPT-4 is really smart. I kind of have a side project where I'd love to write a book, and so I've been asking it, basically having philosophical conversations around morality and those sorts of things to use them as prompt ideas for books, which has been a whole lot of fun and surprisingly accurate in terms of, like, I asked it about, like, if God is all-knowing and all-powerful, how does the rest of that concept go? And asking for details into that, which has been fascinating. And then the other bit that I've been using it recently for work is I built myself a GPT that can research a company.
Yep.
And then based on the person's job title, it'll figure out how that person contributes to the company, what the company's trying to do, and then we'll figure out how Wocado helps that person help the company what to do, and then puts together a complete email sequence that's entirely customized in my voice. The biggest challenge I have with that is the marketing software. I haven't found one that I can easily upload it to, because most marketing software allows you to change first name, last name, you know, company and those sorts of things. But these are, you know, I've got 2,500 completely custom generated emails that are really well researched and on the point that I'm using as part of an email marketing campaign.
That's crazy. I think just for listeners, I think I saw something similar to this by you on LinkedIn. I think you took it maybe one step further in terms of projecting where it's going to be. Like, I think you had this overlay where you essentially deep faked yourself, where it was a video and it looked like someone else's mouth was speaking in a voice that was vaguely yours.
But so I got the professional voice cloning done. Okay. And so the voice works really well. Just the video thing is super uncanny valley.
Yeah.
It looks super weird, and that was like as good as I could get it to look. But I'm playing around with how that's going to work.
I also think like maybe that's actually a benefit. Like it's actually a good way to break the ice. Like here is this really, I'm not going to say goofy, but pretty close to goofy looking video of me, but not really me. Like, you know, let's grab a coffee sort of stuff. Like I think if I received a cold outreach like that, I think I'd be pretty intrigued. But so, yeah, we'll link to that post in the show notes because it's actually quite entertaining. So well done.
Yeah. Look, again, the biggest challenge I had with that is I then needed to upload all of those videos to Vimeo. Right. And then you can't, because you can't send the whole video. So again, the problem was distribution. So I had AI generating the whole thing. And so then distribution just got super complicated.
So you solved one problem and then you've created another, like you just created your own bottleneck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm not super down with all of the APIs and how to connect all that up. But it's a cool use case. There's some cool things that are coming down the track there with that stuff.
Yeah, no, it's really impressive and really cool. Using something like Wakato to do that is really awesome. And the speed at which you can do that too is really impressive. Let's dive into Wakato. So first question is really, where does Wakato sit in the advice tech space? What is it? And I guess the general sort of origin story of Wakato.
Yeah, so Wakato's been around for about 10 years now. We're a mix of a few different things. Typically, people kind of think of us as an integration platform, and that's kind of what we're known for, and given our kind of history and pedigree. But we kind of use the terms integration and automation interchangeably.
Yep.
If you're trying to automate anything, you need to be able to connect to different systems. So we kind of started from that foundational layer of being able to integrate it into everything and then automate everything. It's kind of one of the taglines that we've used.
Okay.
The cool thing with Wakato is it's a low-code, no-code SaaS tech. And the guys who actually founded Wakato originally came from TIBCO. And so they've got deep expertise. And TIBCO is used quite heavily in the banking sector in the US.
Okay.
So it's really an enterprise integration tool. Some of the guys were also involved in Oracle Fusion Middleware. One of the guys was involved in building out the original AWS cloud product.
Oh, wow.
And so you got these really great technical people that have gone, let's build a low-code, no-code integration and automation tool with all the things that we know are going to be required for an enterprise team. So that's what makes us a little bit unique is we can kind of play in the space of a low-code, no-code tool, but then have the chops and the capabilities to do work for some fairly large global organizations with some of the things that we do.
Yeah, I found it can be as simple as when this happens like a Zapier style. If this field changes, then send a text message or send an email or add to an email list. But you can ramp it up real quick and you can go down a rabbit hole even quicker. And also noticed on your LinkedIn, Luke, where you've started using the hashtag, if you hate it, automate it. It's just as simple as that of really like creating a seamless backstage in terms of the business, which then translates to a maybe almost seamless front stage for clients or for whoever you're dealing with. And it's just, full disclosure. So we're actually, Contest BA is a Wakato user and we use it for heaps of stuff. So, for example, creating clients in multiple systems. So we're heavy Salesforce users. So if you create a client account in Salesforce, it's pushing that to Xero Blue, XPM, so Xero Practice Manager, Stripe, sets them up in SharePoint, etc. we've been able to build our own internal proposal tool within Salesforce so that then uses Stripe for billing and Xero so that clients can actually Apple Pay their proposals as well as sort of take care of that automated recurring billing. We've automated the financial reporting of our business using Wicardo. So every morning we get an up-to-date P&L as well as a balance sheet, which is consolidated across the five entities that make up the Collins SBA group. And recently, or more recently, we've been able to implement Stripe's identity product. So users or our team members, without leaving Salesforce, can generate verification session links and send them out to clients via SMS or email.
You've been busy since we last spoke. And like last time we spoke, you'd done a couple of things, but this is next level. You really have gone and taken the bull by the horns.
Yeah, I think it's a testament to the speed of development. And obviously, this is an audio-only show, but just that sort of Wicardo visual canvas of building out a recipe, which, as I said, most people are probably familiar with Zapier, like a Zap. So a Wicardo recipe, it's actually dangerous, Luke, because if someone has an idea or you think of something and you go, geez, I wonder how long this will take. You might say, 5 or 10 minutes, and you can get sort of version one quickly, and then you can start to branch out and build something pretty crazy pretty quickly.
Yeah, we just signed up an insurance company in Sydney. And we did a proof of concept with them as part of it to kind of pull some information out of an Monaro database.
Yeah.
And we had the developers there that were doing it and building it in Java code. And so they once we got it going, we got the connection up and running, I saw how long we had. And there was one point where they realized they'd forgotten another meeting that they had to go to. And we had 5 minutes to build an API. Wow. And they were like, all right, let's take on the challenge and see if we can build an API in 5 minutes for our Oracle database. And they got halfway through. There was 150 fields that they had to map as part of that process. And, you know, the machine learning and Wicardo made it a whole lot easier. But, you know, that process previously, they had scheduled 2 weeks to build that process.
Really?
And they'd been using Wicardo for 2 hours and were smashing out APIs and trying to get it done within 5 minutes.
Far out.
So yeah, no, it's just that piece. But to your point about how you can kind of go wild, it's kind of like the next stage that we talk to a lot of customers about, and that's when you know we kind of talk about that scale and having that background from those other products. Somebody like Atlassian's one of our larger customers. They've got about 1,400 automations running through their organization, and Canva's going down this path at the moment as well. And so, because we're a low-code, no-code solution, what we do, what we can enable is for other, you know, more business users to be able to use the system, build those automations, and then have IT or more technical people providing the guardrails and governance around it. So, the ideal customer very much lets the rest of the business go nuts building stuff, and we provide those safeguards and best practices around how you can kind of manage that. If you think, you know, Atlassian 1,400 automations, I think they have about 400 people building automations in that organization. I guess just trying to manage that in those many people in any system gets complicated, but there's something that we've been able to consistently do. And that's like, you kind of see the speed in terms of which you can build it, but then when you get 400 people building at that speed, that's where you can kind of do some really crazy things. My favorite one from Canva is, They connected into the APIs of their vending machine, so that when stock got low, it would automatically hit their purchasing system.
Oh, wow.
And refill their vending machine for them. So stock would just appear at their front door. They just did it because they could. But you know,
I didn't realize vending machines had APIs. But that's that just sort of reminds me of, it might have been Amazon or someone that had those sort of buttons that you could stick on your fridge where something got low.
Oh, yeah.
And you could restock your milk or whatever was in there. Yeah, that's crazy. Like, there's just so many applications for this. I think in the context of wealth management or financial planning firms, have you got like a couple of examples of, an advice business that's maybe used Wicardo in a really cool way, or maybe not even a really cool way, because really cool is obviously subjective. For example, what tools did they connect and what does the recipe do? Like, how did they solve a particular business problem?
Yeah, so there's most wealth management companies that we work with, they're kind of doing the standard or like data management piece within their organization. Obviously, as most people know, there's lots of different business units within a wealth management piece. And each one of those guys uses a different sort of system. And so trying to kind of give a consistent customer experience, or even just, you know, the classic one is somebody wants to update their address and then they have to go to five different departments within the same organization and do it five different times.
Yep.
Those are the sorts of things that I see quite a lot of wealth management organizations automating with Wocado, is those connections. And often there'll be one or two tools in there that are a little bit older and it's a little bit harder to do that with. And so that's where we've done some unique things, or we've been able to build and build some workarounds around how to do those sorts of things. But yeah, those are the most bits. And then there's a few organizations that very much use it to speed up the process at which they bring customers in the door. One of our wealth management group in Sydney, they use it kind of for lead enrichment and automating that whole scheduling process. So that they don't basically leave money on the table when somebody shows interest, that they're kind of making use of that very quickly. And then the other really cool one is anytime anybody connects it into Microsoft Teams to provide themselves with notifications. Or we had one team that was using Wocado for fund management and into Teams. So if an investment opportunity came up, there was a process that they had to follow. And they basically built that form into a Teams form with Wocado.
Yep.
And they put the approval process through Wocado on that piece.
Oh, wow. So you're essentially using Wocado to create a configured Microsoft Teams environment so you can do your work without leaving Teams, but then follow that guided process. Is that right?
Yeah, and because the big problem that they had was they needed to, and I forget the standards, but we are able to show that one person has signed off and then another person has signed off on that process. And so, and then getting the directors to do it. And so previously that was a piece of paper that they'd run around from one person to another. And, you know, did they actually sign it? Did they not actually sign it? That sort of thing. So what this enabled us to do is, because we then spat out all of those times and authentication into a CSV type file, when it came time to get their audit done for this compliance check, they had timestamps on everything and they could show the workflow and go, there's no way this person could have signed it because they wouldn't have never received it before the other person had approved it. So that kind of those audit controls were also all built into that piece from a compliance perspective. So it sped up the process and made their audit a whole lot easier.
So a great example of compliance by design. So you're actually making that process compliant, but you're also making team members' lives easier because they're not having to go into, say, a spreadsheet and update it, which is technically a separate system.
This is one of the things I found really interesting working in financial services is automation. Yeah, it saves time and that's great. But I was speaking to one of the banks and the challenge they have is they can tell you how a certain number becomes the way that it becomes. They can tell you what the process is. They can't tell you exactly what happened to that number.
Right.
And the great thing with automation is we have a record of all of that. And so by virtue of automating it, there's an audit trail of everything that's happened where a person has interacted with it and made a change to it, where it's been an automatic calculation, how that whole process has happened. So, automation makes that kind of compliance piece a whole lot easier, as well as speeding up the whole process.
All right. So, essentially, in that example, it's like a blackboard or a whiteboard where you started with one number and all these equations happened, but you still see how we actually got to that end figure and whether that took 5 minutes or 24 days. And just to go back to your example about using Teams and forms and compliance, like a couple of quick examples would be in financial planning, we've got SOAs or statements of advice as well as ROAs or records of advice. You could easily embed, say, a compliance process for something like a non-approved product or something like that. And I assume it could fire off to the right person based on their role within the business, yeah. Follow them up if they're being slack or, you know, something happens, they've just missed it. Because as we know, notifications are pinging off left, right, and center all the time.
Yeah, even have it to the point where if the person doesn't reply within 24 hours, send it to their boss or send it to an alternate person that can sign it off for all of those sort of things. It's the great thing with the system is because it's fairly easy to design the process and because, you know, basically if-else statements or if-and statements that you're making, you know, there's a utilities company in Canada that uses Wicardo quite heavily.
Right.
They use it for their entire onboarding of, you know, upwards of 3,000 staff. So all of their approvals for all of these sorts of things, they're not using Teams to kind of surface this information, but they're using Wicardo to help orchestrate that whole complexity from an organizational perspective. So you can get really complex. It's not going to be as complex as what you'd want to do for credit rating scores and approvals and those sorts of things.
Right.
But you can still get most of the way there with these sorts of things. And then I think you mentioned before about kind of where you can take it. There's some people within our organization, and there is actually another wealth management company that have started using Wicardo to manage Wicardo. So they use it to, if something stops working within Wicardo, or if something needs to change, or if something goes too slow, or there's a bunch of different scenarios that they have, and a lot of it's around usage, that they use Wicardo and the automations to look at the automations and make changes to them as needed.
It's a bit of Wicardo inception. I also think whenever I'm doing, say, demos of our tech stack or Wicardo is brought up in a meeting and it's being recorded, somehow it always gets transcribed as Ricardo. So people are like, who is this Ricardo bloke and why do you keep banging on about him? Obviously not all heroes wear capes, but he is technology. It's not a person. But just on that, obviously saying that Ricardo is not a person in our business, just to hone in on the point around like consistency of process and also scalability of if you've got you're talking about essentially the HR example of onboarding a new team member, that process can be the same for whether you have 5, 10, 15 people versus 5,000. But what it allows you to do is scale that process. And sort of just on that, before we implemented Wicardo, we had a sort of contract Salesforce developer. And basically the mandate for him was we would explore simple solutions and use simple tools where possible. So, for example, before we were using Zapier, as well as we still use Salesforce Flow very heavily. But when it got to the stage where maybe the integration wasn't supported or the extent of that integration wasn't supported by Zapier, but you could do it if you delved right into the developer part of the tool's website, what he would do is he would go custom with those sort of niche things that we needed. That was really great at the time, but future-proofing that was a struggle because it meant that we were very reliant on a custom integration, but also reliant on a developer who had coded. So using, you know, the Salesforce coding language, which is called Apex, JavaScript, all this other stuff. And what that meant was if he left, I would be left with that sort of tech debt. So it meant that, like, I actually have no idea how to code. That's why I love Wicardo so much, is because it's visual, and also Salesforce Flow, tools like that, Zapier, they're visual and they give you superpowers. But what this means now with Wicardo is I've been able to rebuild the integrations or those pieces of functionality that developer built, but it means it reduces key person risk on me, and it means that anyone in the business can learn these tools. Maybe if you don't mind speaking about, I guess, the onboarding experience as well as the sort of self-help learning tools that Wicardo have as well to get started.
Yeah, sure. Wicardo being a low-code, no-code tool, the implementation or onboarding of it is very much so Wicardo, we provide you with an onboarding process. There's a bunch of different packages that we do. Essentially, we have a customer success person who's your point of contact, and then we have a technical person who helps you out with best practices and those sorts of things. And we kind of go through what you're trying to do and trying to get you up and running. We're really big on helping customers get up and running. In fact, we're actually changing some of the way that our goals and KPIs are, so we had a soft metric to get people live in 8 weeks. It's now becoming a hard metric within our company. And so very much goaled around trying to get people up and running as quickly as possible. Because the data backs it up. The faster people go live, the more they do with it. And that's over the lifetime value of our customers. So we invest quite heavily into making sure that we can do whatever we can to get people up and running. There's also a bunch of online resources and training. They're free. You can go play with them now. So you don't have to be a Workato customer to access that. It's the Workato Academy.
Yep.
You get access to a free trial of Workato there as well as part of that process. And then the other thing that is really hard to kind of sell as a salesperson, but is incredible is in product support. So there's a little window down the bottom right. You can pop that up. It has access to all of our documentation. And at the bottom of it, there's a live chat function where somebody will get back to you within a couple of minutes around what's going on. We invest really heavily into it. And as a salesperson, you can go, hey, it's good, but until you experience it and actually have somebody to help out with those sorts of things,
I could definitely vouch for that. So yesterday I was having some trouble extracting a value from something. And so I feel bad because I do sometimes lean heavily on that chat function. And I sort of shot off a message to the support team. And then, as you said, within a couple of minutes, Richard entered the chat and he fixed that. Like, I probably gave him like 50% less context than he required and just screenshots, and somehow he figured it out, like followed me up when I stopped replying because I was trying to actually run like tests, etc. But you're right, like within, sort of 10 to 15 minutes, that issue was fixed. And I haven't had a case where it hasn't been solved. Like if the team member that joins that chat, it's not their sort of realm of expertise or specialty, they'll escalate it to someone else and get it done. And I also remember when we were onboarding about a year ago, you talk about that soft KPI becoming a hard KPI. The amount of bloody emails you sent me saying, "Are you up? Are you happy? Are you live yet?" And I just sort of said, "Look, leave me alone. I'll come back to you when I need help." Like it's a great culture on making sure that businesses actually use the software that you've sold them. Like it's a really refreshing experience to have someone where it's like, I don't know, it's not radio silence once you sign up, like most sort of software. Like if you think about a big sort of e-signature provider and they may charge more than you think per envelope, and you may need to commit to the amount of envelopes you're going to send within a specified period, sign up. And the only time they've used their software is to send you the actual contract, and then you don't hear from them, or if you need help, they'll give you to someone else. And then when you do hear from them, it's when you've gone over your license cap and you need to do an early renewal, or it's just time for renewal. So yeah, look, it's a very refreshing experience.
It's interesting working from a salesperson's perspective as well, because I very much try and keep in touch with my customers, not be that sales guy that drops through. But our wholesale support is so good that they just end up dropping me off the meetings because I'm not adding any value into those things. I've been at Workato over 2 years now. I've had one escalation the entire time I've been here, and that was because Facebook changed its APIs without telling us.
Okay, that's nice. Yep.
So it's nice to work at a company where it works and they're actively trying to make customers successful.
Yeah. So that's great from a sort of tips to onboard, et cetera, as well as the resources available. I mentioned before that we sort of graduated from Zapier to Workato. Would you mind just talking about why most businesses come to Workato and maybe why you would choose a Workato over, say, a Zapier or like a Microsoft Power Automate?
Yeah, no, we get this question a lot. there's the, I guess, the design perspective. We have similar sort of interfaces. I think ours is better, but I'm biased. The main reason that we see people kind of moving across is the governance and security aspect of it.
Okay.
So from a Power Automate perspective, it's low code, but it's low code for a developer. So you still need to understand a little bit how that works. And it's they're more personal productivity tools, if that makes sense. So they're great for you to automate some of your tasks. But if you're trying to do that at scale and do that in a compliant, safe way where people can go nuts, there are some companies that do it. No, IAG has a very big Power Automate practice. But the amount of rigor that they have to, manual rigor that they have to put around ensuring that it works is quite difficult. So there's that. And then, you know, as soon as data sovereignty becomes an issue, or data masking or encryption or SOC 2 compliance or all of those sorts of things that organizations are requesting more and more and more, Cardo has those, you know, built in. We've got some very large financial institutions in the States using our solution, and we've kind of gone through, you know, if I come into competition with somebody asking me about security, we win every single time. So those are the kind of the main reasons is where you're starting to scale and you're getting to that point where security is an issue, where scale is an issue. And then the other big thing as well is, a Power Automate platform works really well in a Microsoft environment.
Okay.
Ricardo so connecting has 14...
the, sorry to interrupt you. So connecting the existing Microsoft tools that everyone's using to say, chuck exactly. this in here, do that, you do this. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas Ricardo has over 1,400 connectors. Xplan released their new APIs. I had a new connector for that in 2 weeks.
What's that? Xplan's in Ricardo.
Yeah, have you not played around with Black Panther yet? No, it's been around for a year.
Nice. No, I haven't. Yeah. We actually don't use Xplan within our business. We are looking to see how that sort of works in general. But just repeat that for the listeners. So you're saying that, I mean, this is probably another string to the bow versus a Zapier or a Power Automate, is you've got pre-built connectors that just need essentially your login credentials to connect that app. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we've got 1,400 of those ready to go. We have a number, if we don't have one, we have a number of kind of standard tools that we can use to connect to APIs. And then if we have the right documentation, I can generate the code for a connector within 2 minutes. So
When you say you mean that the Ricardo sort of guided process can do that? Is that what you mean? So as in a user can do that, or are you talking about yourself?
No, as in somebody who has access to our SDK can drop the API documentation into the tool and it'll generate the code for you. So, I mean, I've done it. I should clarify, I'm not technical at all. Yeah, so it's a fairly straightforward process. And then the stuff that we're doing with AI is kind of then the next level of that on top of that.
Yeah,
kind of stuff
can you maybe take us through that? Like what's some of the the cool stuff that's happening with AI in the platform? I know that at the moment the sort of the current functionality is it's very manual, as in you've got to go to those sort of Copilot / chatbot style solutions to get what you want. There's obviously with Copilot, there's greater certainty around the sort of wall around your data, especially within the Microsoft environment. But now, essentially, with that example you provided before about using ChatGPT and the creating that video with the personalized script, etc. Yeah, give us some AI examples of AI in Ricardo.
Yeah, so there's that. So Ricardo's always had machine learning as part of its platform. So automatically suggesting data mapping fields and kind of suggesting what actions you want to use. We just have been doing that from a usability perspective. But we've actually partnered with OpenAI around a few different things. And so the kind of first cab off the rank is to kind of have like a ChatGPT-like experience to build recipes and to build those workflows. So going, hey, I want to connect Salesforce and Xero, and I want to sync anytime we onboard a new customer.
Yep.
What's that?
Or Xplan, for example.
Or Xplan. Yep. And so rather than you kind of clicking and doing that if and statement, Wakato will generate that and then ask you to confirm it. So kind of even making it easier to build those things. The other piece that we're working on is around that from the connector piece that I kind of hinted at before. At the moment, it needs to be in a certain format for Wakato to generate that code. Okay. Where we're going to is you'll just be able to give it the URL of the API documentation, and our AI will read that documentation and generate code for you. So even if it's older APIs, we'll be able to use that as a way to kind of speed up the development of our thing. So we're very much going down this path of generating connectors as opposed to needing to build them.
Yeah. So just to clarify your point around building the code for you, what I've experienced is when you're sort of throwing in those files or those that API documentation in its current form, what Wakato is actually doing is reading it, but then it's creating all those actionable steps for you. So then you can essentially click on the action, which might be create client or update client or whatever it is in that system. So even though you're dropping in the code or it's creating the code for you, it's actually creating it in a visual way too. So it's not, you're not losing that sort of ease of the visual code nature of Wakato or the tool that you're using.
So that's absolutely really good. Yeah. And then the last thing that, we're doing, or that I know of that we're doing in the AI space, because I know our product guys are constantly tinkering. I've just seen a preview of this. We're developing, I don't know exactly what it's going to be called, but we've talked about it. So it's basically taking those two concepts of generating connectors and generating recipes and having kind of like an agent experience where you'll be able to have a ChatGPT-like experience. And it'll generate the connectors in the background and the recipe flows in the background to pull together that task and build it as a one-off. So if, for example, you wanted to create an event and you wanted to invite your top 10 customers who hadn't created a support ticket, who were not overdue, like, you know, all paid up on all of their fees and everything, and you wanted to create an event and you wanted it to be at this place, you'd go, hey, invite all the, you know, you'd ChatGPT, tell it it wanted to do this. Wakato would then, because it's connected to your CRM system, it would find out who your top customers are. It would connect to your finance system and find out, make sure that they hadn't thing, and connect to your support system and cross-check that information, and then connect to your marketing information, your email campaign, and create the campaign, create the email, and create the list for you.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying it's more like a concierge experience where it's doing the whole thing. So the whole thing is a chat experience rather than just a sort of co-pilot. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So you'll be able to do all together anything from any of those systems. So schedule a meeting, pull together information, any of those things that you'd like. If you are ever an experience where you go, hey, I wish the system could just do, and if you can describe it, the idea is that these agents will be able to take that description and translate that into recipes and into a Wakato workflow and then pull that information to you together for you on the fly.
That's very cool.
All of my cool little demo things, like the thing that I built to go and prospect and go create custom messages for you know, 2,500 emails, I wouldn't need to put together that. I would just go, hey, I want you to build me this where, and exactly as I described it, and it'll go and create that and then build that as the function for me to consume on a regular basis.
So you're taking away some of that sort of blank canvas anxiety. You can start with a couple of sentences, it can build it out for you. You can quickly see what it's done, and then you can reassess and go, what'd you do that for? That's not what I asked for, even though you did, just didn't give it enough context, and then you can go again.
Yeah. And there's going to be governance and you know, all of that. And that's basically what's being worked on at the moment. But it'll be your own personal assistant within.
Yeah, well.
Then the way the product guy was describing it to me is you'll never do admin again.
Wow, big claim. I'd love to see that come to fruition.
Look, I've seen a very Dara prototype and it got me very excited to the point where I've stopped working on my AI projects because I'm like, I'll just wait till this comes out.
Just wait, okay.
So yeah, then, big claims, but look, we'll see.
Oh, definitely. No, there's you've also mentioned like there's a truckload of some minor releases, some major ones. Like, yeah. What are some of the other tools in Wakato as well? Like, we've focused heavily on the recipe stuff, so the back end automation. Yeah. But you've also got things that where you can essentially build your own apps and that sort of stuff too.
Yeah. So this is the cool thing about being a SaaS company. I think last year we did 700 updates.
Okay.
Throughout the whole year, and so something like that.
Yeah.
And so kind of the AI stuff is the kind of it's one of those cool things where the kind of off the cuff remark releases that we've done at other companies that I've worked at, they would have been the main focus and the main thing that we've done.
Right.
Whereas we just kind of build them in as part of the course. One of the other things that we've introduced is a Wakato app, which is essentially a low-code app form building piece. So at the moment, you can use Slack and Teams for kind of that interface to trigger things and build data. What this will allow you to do is to create your own form or app. And so think about an approval process that needs to go across multiple different systems. So when you're trying to put together a proposal or that whole workflow, you can use Wakato to essentially help orchestrate and visualize that.
So where that is, what stage you're up to in the process and what needs to come.
Yeah, and whose approval we're waiting on and what's happening. And so it'll be able to respond to both human and system changes, updates.
So you're saying the process might be 80% automated, but there might be that one manual step where a human needs to intervene.
Yeah, so like an approval for a contract to go out or, you know, on hiring somebody or make a decision 1, 2, or 3 or whatever that piece is, and then giving visibility to everybody else around where it is in that process.
Wow. And I guess, next question is if someone wants to learn more, Luke, how can they get in touch with you or Wakato?
Yeah, so you can reach out to me. My LinkedIn's there available, and all my contact details are there. Or honestly, reach out to Wakato and sign up for a demo and just describe what you want. We use Wakato internally, so it's an automated process, and somebody will get back to you within 5 minutes. So honestly, that's the fastest way to get in touch with us because we drink our own champagne and it goes very, very quickly.
I think you just reminded me when we were sort of having that those opening discussions, as in you and I think instead of going straight to the PowerPoint or the Google slides, you just said, what are you trying to do? And then you said, let's try and build it. And then we built it. And then it was like, okay, let's sign up. The speed to basically speed to get what we needed was just so quick. I was like, okay, this is the tool we need to implement.
I think we met on a Friday, and by when over the weekend you built a bunch of stuff. By Wednesday you'd presented it to your team. We lost a day on Thursday, and on Friday we were signing contracts. So
yeah, it was lightning quick. Yeah, Ricardo, keep banging on about him. Thank you, Luke. We really appreciate it. If you hate it, automate it. And thank you, Luke. I'm sure. Yeah, keep an eye on your LinkedIn DMs and your email address. I'm sure it might blow up, but thank you, Luke, and thanks for your support.
Appreciate it, and thanks for having me.